This is Wealth Wake Up on KGMI with Dick Donahue.
The opinions voiced in Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Guests of Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue are not affiliated with Cetera Advisor Networks, CWM, LLC, or Asset Advisors, LLC.
Good Saturday morning, Dick Donahue with you, Camille Kopenberg here with Wolf Wake Up Live on KGMI. A little different weather out there today. Last night I was out driving around a little bit, and you kind of look out to the west, and you could actually see clouds for a change instead of smoke. It was kind of different. The sun wasn't all red. You know, you could see it coming. That's pretty good. Okay, let's take a look at the week in review. The markets declined this week on escalating tensions between the United States and North Korea. Small cap stocks and sectors which respond well to economic growth were particularly hit hard. Prices for treasuries and gold rose as investors adopted a risk-off sentiment. The prospect of a military conflict, while seemingly remote, unnerved investors who had enjoyed a relatively benign investing environment so far this year. Indeed, the CBOE Volatility Index, or what we know as the VIX, I should say, has been trading near historical lows, spiked 55% this week to close near its highest level since November of 2016 elections. And yet, geopolitical and other macro risks are a staple of investing. The North Korean episode is the latest in a surprisingly regular series of events that have shaken the markets over the last several years. The Brexit vote in 2016, the Greek bailout negotiations in 2015, the Russian-Ukraine conflict, an oil market sell-off in 2014, the taper tantrum of 2013, and the European debt crisis and fiscal cliff showdown in 2012. In the midst of these events, though, the major equity indexes have more than doubled over the last 5.5 year period. These episodes often have limited economic impact for individual companies and industries. The flare-ups, though, can create opportunities for long-term investors to selectively acquire stocks that others may have discarded in a move to avoid risk. Politics have largely overshadowed the second quarter earnings season. Nevertheless, results have been impressive. Over 90% of the companies in the S&P 500 index that have reported earnings of so far. Of these, 70% have met or exceeded analyst sales estimates, and 82% have met or exceeded analyst earnings per share estimates. Sales for the quarter have now expected to rise 5.2%, while earnings are expected to rise 10.2%. These results, which are significantly above initial expectations, reaffirm a positive outlook for corporate profits. Department store retailers Macy's and Nordstrom's were in focus this week. The companies pointed to a strong start to the popular back-to-the-school shopping period. Yet weak overall traffic patterns and concerns over online competition persist. The stocks were down 11% and 4%, respectively. Other companies perceived to be Amazon-proof, such as Home Depot, have outperformed thus far this year. Next week, specialty retailers, including Home Depot, TJX companies, which owns TJ Maxx and Marshalls, and L Brands, owner of Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works, will report earnings. The updated results and management commentaries will provide important insights into the state of the retail with regard to the rapidly evolving nature of these businesses, particularly as it relates to online competition as well as broader consumer sentiment. Okay, Camille, what you got over there this morning?
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about back-to-school planning, and I've got a little thing that we've got actually posted on the website. So if you're out there and you're interested to kind of follow up on what I talked about today, you can go to wealthwakeup.com and go to Insights. So if you've looked at the ads in your Sunday paper lately, you know what time of year it is. It's back to school season. And with most students starting classes later this month, retailers across the country are planning for the influx of shoppers looking for the best deals on back-to-school clothes and supplies. And hopefully students are taking advantage of their last few weeks of summer vacation. And if they've planned ahead, they are well on their way to finishing their summer reading and won't have to cram an entire summer's worth into these last few weeks. Parents are starting to think about getting back into their school year routine with nonstop practices and activities. Needless to say, back-to-school planning has begun. But when it comes to planning for paying for college, Americans haven't been relatively successful. You know, this is according to a recent study on how Americans pay for college. Close to 9 in 10 families said they knew their child would attend college as early as his or her enrollment in preschool. And despite that knowledge, only 4 in 10 families had created a plan to pay for all the years of college before their child enrolled. So what does that mean? 60% of families plan to address paying for college when the student actually goes to college. Is money going to come out of thin air? I don't think so. In a recent survey on college pricing, the average cost of tuition and fees for the 2016 and 17 school year was $33,480 at private colleges and $9,650 for in-state residences at public colleges. $24,934 out-of-state residents in attending public universities. So while those costs grew at a slower rate in 2017, from 1990 through 2016, the average annual increase in tuition was 6% per year, more than double that the rate of inflation. And not surprisingly, student loan debt is at an all-time high. In recent years, studies have shown that 70% of students graduate with student loans, with the average 2016 graduate holding about $37,172 in student debt. As education costs continue to increase and more students are saddled with debt to fund their education to achieve their goals, back to school season is the perfect time to start thinking about your family's plan for education expenses. So what can you do? Well, we talk about a thing called the 529 plan a lot around here. And 529 plans are actually one of the best ways to save for your child's college education. It's named after Section 529 of the Internal Revenue Code. A 529 plan is an investment account used to pay for a beneficiary's college expenses. They've been available since 1996, but only 13% of families used them to pay for college in 2016. That's down 16% from the prior year. A family can actually invest a 529 account without the earnings being taxed as long as the funds are used to pay for qualified expenses. So here are some other benefits. It funds can be used for undergraduate, graduate, technical, or even trade schools. You can choose any state's 529 plan, and there's no limit on the number of 529 plans accounts you hold at one time. There are a wide variety of investment choices. And not only you can make contributions, but family members can make contributions too. They don't expire, and you have the ability to change the beneficiary. You can also front load 5 years worth of gifting. So if you want to go ahead and give that student a head start, you can give them $70,000 upfront for 5 years. And if you don't have children yet, you still can open a 529 plan in your name. And then when you do have a child, you can transfer the assets to the child later. Again, that's that beneficiary change. And then when it's time to withdraw, these are the expenses you can pay for. You can use it for tuition and fees, books and supplies, computers and related equipment, room and board expenses. They do not include transportation, student loan payments, general electronics and cell phone plans, sport and fitness club memberships, and health insurance premiums. So if you have questions about using a 529 plan, give me a call, 360-733-1200. And again, check out the website, wealthwakeup.com, our insights page. This is our August monthly newsletter, and we've got a really nifty little printout there, so you can check that out.
Okay. Well, thanks, Camille. We're going to take a quick break. I think we're going to hear from Mike Kipp out at Birch Bay today. Is that what we're here listening for? Okay, we'll take a quick one. We'll be back after that.
Great.
Hi, this is Mike Kent. We are at the third annual Rollback Week in the heart of Birch Bay. All kinds of hot rods, classic cars, you name it. Rock and roll, music, fun, vendors. We are having a super time this entire weekend, and part of the show every single year has been the Infinity Dance Group, and I've got Amber Lee Petum here. Amber, tell your friends why they need to come out to Rollback Weekend.
It is amazing and fun, and you get to see all the hot rods, and tomorrow at 1:30 we'll be performing for Infinity Dance.
You guys do such a great job. How long have you been dancing?
Since I was three.
Since you were three, almost her entire life. You're going to see him tomorrow, 1:30, Rollback Weekend. Today, we're having a hula hoop contest at 3 o'clock. You're going to try that? You'd be a natural.
Yeah.
She is going to try that. If you want to compete for the hula hoop, that's at 3. If you just want to come see some amazing cars, come see us. Rollback Weekend in Birch Bay. We are having a super time all weekend long. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, we start again at 10 and run till 5. Super time. Come join us.
DeWard & Bodie's 9-hour sale is happening now, and you don't want to miss it. Today only, from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m., you can find store-wide savings on appliances, AC units, barbecues, mattresses, and furniture up to 40% off. Every refrigerator, freezer, range, wall oven, laundry set, and so much more is marked down and on sale exclusively for 9 hours. Save on every mattress in their massive showroom and get huge markdowns on floor models, one-only, and closeout models. Buy with no money down and no interest for 18 months on appliances $6.99 and up, or 48 months on mattresses $29.99 and up. OAC see store for details. Plus, get fast professional delivery right to your home. Check out the outlet centers to save even more on ding and dent, open box, and closeout appliances. The clock is ticking, so hurry in to DeWard & Bodie showroom on Meridian, the outlet center on Hannigan Road, or their new retail and outlet store in Burlington, just a half block north of Costco, where you'll find the best selection, prices, and customer service in Whatcom and Skagit County.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wolf Wake Up Live, this Saturday morning here on KGMI. Dick Donahue, Camille Copenberg with you, and we are live, so we are taking calls today, 360-676-5464. I got to think about that one every time we get that 360 in there. More and more numbers in front of us here. Don't forget, dial the 360. Okay, the retail upheaval. We talked about this a little bit. We're talking about earnings. Is going to get worse this year and beyond, as foot traffic at malls declines and more retailers opt to shutter their struggling stores. But the pain won't be distributed evenly, and there are steps that retailers can take to survive and even thrive amid tough competition. The twin forces upending the retail industry, e-commerce, which now accounts for 9% of total sales, and 25% of electronics and 20% of apparel. And so-called deep value stores like TJ Maxx and the like, plus fast fashion outlets like H&M, expect both to keep growing at the expense of the traditional malls and other brick-and-mortar stores. By 2022, 30% of clothing sales will take place online. For instance, as shoppers keep shifting to the internet, deep value chains will also grab 30% of apparel sales, from 20% now, eating into the traditional store's revenue. Malls in smaller cities will be hit the hardest, especially the older malls that need refurbishing. At a time when traffic is down, many won't survive. Their big city rivals can expect to do better, since they serve wealthier folks and can afford traffic-drawing events and attractions. All told, look for 15% of malls nationwide to close during the next decade. For traditional department stores closing their doors, the new anchors will be smaller but less exposed to online competition, such as grocery stores, health clubs, cinemas, etc. What traditional retailers can do to navigate the new selling landscape? Focus on the most popular brands, which shoppers are increasingly seeking as it gets easier to compare prices online. Private label brands are falling out of favor. Discount apparel chains thrive by buying designer clothes cheap and offering sales. Specialize in unique offerings. Today, shoppers like items that are artisanal, handicraft, or handcrafted, I should say, and otherwise different. Signature products, they'll share photos online. Pair inventories and speed up supply chains. Getting goods delivered faster cuts costs and boosts sales. Macy's, for instance, is attaching RFID tags to its products to better track inventory and make sure that stuff isn't languishing in warehouses. Close poorly performing stores. Too many retailers are holding on to laggards. Above all, harness the internet. An edge for retailers with physical stores versus online sellers is that those stores can be turned into distribution centers for shipping products ordered online. Also, some chains are seeing better sales by offering in-store pickups of online orders. Folks spend more time if they walk in the door. E-commerce sites must be mobile-friendly. Online shopping has to be fast and reliable. And be ready for in-store payments via smartphone apps, which is a fast-growing trend. So big changes in retail. We're going to continue to see that happen. People are going to shop different than they have in the past. And it's just a matter of convenience. And you can go in line to the grocery stores and figure out what you want to buy and order it and go drive by the front door and they'll stick it in your car for you. I mean, it's changing pretty rapidly out there. So what we got over there, Camille?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the required minimum distribution. We actually get a lot of questions on that. And so I wanted to kind of go over what it is and when you got to start. So what is a RMD or required minimum distribution? So you can't keep your retirement funds in your account indefinitely. You generally have to start taking withdrawals from your IRA, your simple IRA, your SEP IRA, or a retirement plan when you reach age 70 and a half. Now, that does not include Roth IRAs. And so what is it? It's a minimum amount you must withdraw from your account each year. Generally, we start off with about 4%. So, and that's usually calculated on a little chart you can get. It's called the Uniform Lifetime Table. You can pull that up on the IRS, or if you look that up, it'll pop right up for you. But the biggest question that we get is, well, when do I have to take that first required minimum distribution? So if you've got an IRA, like a SEP and a simple, that's usually April 1st of the year following the calendar year in which you reached age 70 and a half. So you got to calculate your birthday plus 6 months. And then if you've got a 401k or a 403b or some other defined contribution plan, it's generally also April 1st of the following year you turn 70 and a half or when you retire. So if you're 70 and a half and still working and have a 401k, you don't necessarily have to take that RMD out. And so I've got a question here that a listener had asked, and they asked, okay, my birth date is on October 1st, 1947. So they'll be 70 and a half on April 1st, 2018. Do they have to take it this year or next year? Well, the answer is that, again, April 1st, the year after the year you reach 70 and a half. So you have until April 1st, 2019 to take your first RMD.
Let's clarify that a little bit. They can take.
You can.
Yeah. They have to take a distribution. They're eligible to take the first distribution in the year they turn 70 and a half. So in this case, they turn 70 this year. They turn 70 and a half next April.
On April 1st.
So yeah. That means that during 2018, they can take their first distribution, or
they can put it off until
defer the first one until April 1st.
Until 2019.
Right. Don't want to confuse anybody too bad on that one.
Yeah. The caveat with that, and that's why I'm talking about it, the caveat with that is that you also have to take that same year. So
you're two April 1st dates there, and those could get people tangled around themselves.
Yeah, and that's why the listener asked the question. It was confusing, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm 70 and a half and on April 1st of the last year, when do I actually have to take that first one out?
Well, April Fool's Day.
Yep.
Be careful.
Yep. So that's kind of that big question out there.
Okay. So. Well, just want to make sure they didn't get too confused on that.
Oh, for sure.
That was a tongue twister in its own way. Okay. Well, you know, got a little fun story of the week I want to stick in here. Wendy's has become the mean girl on Twitter, according to this article. Rather than tweeting broad information, Wendy's delivers its tweets with a sharp tongue. For example, in March, McDonald's announced it would use fresh beef in its quarter pounders. Wendy's tweeted. So you'll still use frozen beef in most of your burgers in all of your restaurants. Asking for a friend, fans of the restaurant tweet Wendy's to see how they will respond. One asked what Wendy's thought about Burger King being their favorite restaurant. Wendy's responded, sorry for your taste buds. What is the impact? Well, followers on Twitter are up 80% in the last year, and 18 to 21-year-olds' perception of Wendy's brand has strengthened. So a little social media bouncing around there being used in the food industry. And then one other thing here, high-net-worth travel agents. According to a recent report from Skift, a travel industry publisher, one-third of high-net-worth travelers use a travel agent. Skift's 50-question survey targeted top 20% income earners in the United States, receiving 1,300 responses. The report 2017 U.S. High Income Traveler Survey found that 10% of high-net-worth travelers exclusively utilize a travel agent when planning a trip. 26% use one almost always or often, 28% never use a travel agent, and 36% seldom use one. Skiff claims that the more agents are focusing on luxury travel, referring to them as travel designers, according to the Travel Market Report. Dick Donahue, Camille Copenberg with you this Saturday morning with Wealth Wake Up Live on KGMI. We're going to be back after news and sports, probably Mike Kent out at Birch Bay again and all that other good stuff. So go for it.
Hey, this is Mike Kent. If you love cars or you've got a great car, why are you not here in Birch Bay? It's Birch Bay, third annual rollback weekend put on by the Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce and Parks and Rec. Hundreds of cars. This is the car show in Whatcom County. Happens once a year, and this is the weekend. So many cool things going on, and for all ages. I got my friend here, Amberly Peedham. She's with Infinity Dance. They're going to be performing tomorrow at 1:30. Have you ever seen so many cars, Amberly?
No.
Pretty cool, huh? And you got all kinds of stuff. Let people know this isn't just for old car guys. There's stuff for kids, a little bit of everything going on.
Today and tomorrow, there is a whole bunch of fun things to do. There's activities like the hula hooping contest, and there's booths, and you can also watch Infinity Dance perform tomorrow at 1:30.
So that's tomorrow at 1:30. Right now, we got all kinds of stuff going on. The beer garden's getting ready to open. We've also got the band starting up. There's all kinds of vendors. There's crafts. There's all kinds of food. But more importantly, the cruising's going to start, and they're going to be competing for 50 little surfboard trophies and airbrush fender guitars. Birch Bay, Rollback Weekend. Come join us.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time, 11:30, 61 degrees in Bellingham, heading for a high of 70 today. President Trump has assured the governor of Guam that residents there will be safe as North Korea threatens to fire intercontinental ballistic missiles at the island. Guam's Civil Defense Office is offering islanders guidance on preparing for an attack. ABC's Jim Avila reports from Guam.
The threat from the North Koreans is not to send their missiles to the land itself of Guam, but instead 20 miles out into the ocean. Less of a threat to the people here and more of an intimidation tactic for the United States. Guam has already been too close to two world wars. In fact, divers here tell me that beneath the blue waters here, you can find wrecks from both wars. The question now is, will North Korea leave some of its weapons right off the shores of Guam?
North Korea has lashed back at the U.S. following President Donald Trump's latest warnings to them. In an editorial in today's North Korea Minju Joseon newspaper, it says the U.S., quote, finds itself in an ever-worsening dilemma, being thrown into the grip of extreme security unrest by North Korea. A national food group is suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, alleging it's allowing commercial shellfish aquaculture to expand in Washington state without adequate environmental scrutiny. The Center for Food Safety alleges the Corps violated federal laws when it approved a general national permit in March for shellfish operations without fully considering environmental impacts of shellfish operations across the state. There are now three lawsuits against Seattle's new income tax on wealthy households. The Conservative Freedom Foundation sued the city this week. Investment manager Michael Kunath and five people represented by former Republican State Attorney General and candidate for governor Rob McKenna are also suing.
If the city prevails in this case, watch for other cities and perhaps even counties, I suppose, to move to enact local income taxes and watch for a move to enact a statewide income tax.
McKenna spoke to Como News. The new measure imposes a 2.25% tax on income above $250,000 for single filers, over $500,000 on joint filers. KGMI Dependable Forecast, partly cloudy, high of 70 today, a low of 58 tonight, and maybe some rain tomorrow with a high of 67. 61 now in Bellingham. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
From ABC Sports, I'm Matt Wolf. They call him the fastest man alive, and today Usain Bolt runs his final race ever, the 4x100 relay at the London World Championships. Last week was his last individual race. Justin Gatlin of the United States beat Bolt, and fittingly, Bolt will face him again tonight. Speaking with ESPN, he says racing Bolt is a challenge unto itself.
He commands a certain type of respect. He carries a certain type of energy into the stadium. It's an energy I've never felt before in my life.
Over to baseball.
Now the 1-2 to Avila, swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Back goes Pollock to the center field fence. And the Cubs have gone back-to-back.
That's Pat Hughes with the call. Alex Avila last night putting the Chicago Cubs up 5-2 in the win against the Arizona Diamondbacks, completing back-to-back shots. With Kyle Schwarber, the Cubs went on to win 8-3. Nationals and Giants rained out. They'll do a doubleheader Sunday. This is ABC Sports.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-396-5102. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. John Laura.
As a dermatologist, I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrated Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-396-5102. 800-396-5102. That's 800-396-5102.
Checking other MLB scores, Dodgers beat the Padres in a squeaker 4-3, Angels edging the Mariners 6-5, another close one on the West Coast, Athletics beating the Orioles 5-4 the final. Big night for St. Louis.
A swing and the ball is looped down the right field line, fair! The ball goes into foul territory as Carpenter scores.
A call on KMOX as Paul DeJong's second RBI double of the game. Cardinals over the Braves, 8-5. Checking NFL preseason action, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers over the New York Giants, 20-12. Bengals beat the Bucks, 23-12. And it was the 49ers over the Kansas City Chiefs, 27-17. Tonight, the Titans are at the Jets, and the Cowboys take on the Rams.
This is not good for the Cowboys. It's not good for him. It's not good for the community. It's not good for his family. And I think he understands that.
That's former Cowboys running back Emmitt Smith talking with WFAA-TV about Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Surprised and disappointed. That's what Elliott tweeted last night, reacting to his 6-game suspension for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. This in relation to alleged charges of domestic abuse, the investigation going back more than a year. PGA Championship action. Round 3 underway at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hideki Matsuyama and Kevin Kisner still atop the leaderboard, both 8 under. Chris Stroud and Jason Day also tied for second, 2 strokes back at 6 under. Italy's Francesco Molinari moving into third, just a stroke back as things tighten up at the PGA Championship. Matt Wolf, ABC Sports.
Get news updates, hear your favorite talk shows, and listen live all day without turning a dial. Go to KGMI.com and hit Listen Live.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live. Dick Donahue, Camille Kolpenberg with you this Saturday morning. Well, we did a little mid-year review this week at the office. Wednesday and Thursday, we had a couple sessions each day for our clients to kind of bring them up to date on some of the things that are happening in the market. And, you know, one of the things that we focused on, which I'll talk about a little bit here, is that, you know, the U.S. companies are having their best earnings season in 13 years, as I mentioned, you know, in an earlier market summary. The earnings are going up and they're beating expectations and what have you. But a lot of that's being driven by overseas demand, which is basically driving that. So, you know, we're seeing top executives from Dow Chemical, Morgan Stanley, they're citing foreign sales or rising foreign sales, which is the dynamic that should help propel gains in the second half. With nearly every global economy showing growth, corporate profits in the second half have beaten estimates by more than three-quarters of the S&P 500 companies. In every sector, at least half of the companies have surpassed or met expectations, with many also getting a boost from a sinking U.S. dollar. Growth has been particularly strong in key regions of the North America and Europe, which grew sales twice the GDP, as well as through the Asia and the Pacific. And while Europe was the source of earnings strength for the first 3 months of 2017, we're now seeing emerging market sales were driving the force from April through June. And companies with large overseas revenue beat estimates for sales and earnings twice as often as those with just a domestic focus. For multinationals, the news has not been just that their U.S.-based operations are doing well, but in some cases that their overseas operations are doing even better. Companies in the S&P 500 get 44% of their revenue outside of the United States. That's kind of an interesting number because a lot of people think, oh, gee, they're a U.S.-based company. But 44% of the revenue of the S&P 500 comes from overseas sales. And a weakening dollar has also benefited U.S. companies such as Kellogg, which beat earning estimates and said exchange rates will reduce 2017 by half. So because of the dropping dollar, they expect exchange rates to reduce profits by half of what they previously estimated. The dollar fell 6.4% against a basket of major world currencies in the first half of 2017. And the dollar is down in part because President Donald Trump's economic agenda has stalled, especially tax reform. A weaker greenback helps overseas revenue by making American exports cheaper while also increasing the dollar value of foreign sales. So the quarter's on a pace to post the highest number of S&P 500 companies beating estimates in 13 years. Earnings beats also are the highest since 2004. One glaring anomaly is that the companies topping expectations on both sales and earnings aren't getting rewarded with immediate stock market gains. That's the first time that that's occurred since the second quarter of 2000, just before the technology bubble bust. We talked quite a bit about this in our review, too. There's some things that are happening that aren't normal in all this. We're seeing all these high earnings and stuff, but we're not necessarily seeing the stocks go up because of it. And in fact, the data point probably signals that company valuations are already elevated heading into the earnings reports, not just that market gains are over. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, of course, is now over 22,000. The S&P 500 index is over 2,400 in the first quarter. So on the other side of the spectrum, companies that resulted trailing expectations, their stocks have been punished pretty good. So if they haven't met expectations, they've gone down. If they have, they have not necessarily gone up that much. So little divergence over what we normally would expect to happen out there. So you got something over there?
Yeah. Changing the subject here a little bit, talking about what the key to retirement security is, and we focus a lot on money, but also good health is important too. And that discussion has been embracing health as an increasingly important component in that retirement security equation. Oftentimes when Dick and I, actually every single time when we sit down and do a financial plan and they've created a budget for us, we ask the question, how much are you going to pay for health costs? And a lot of times people give us a much smaller number than they actually think they are going to spend. In fact, we usually say for a couple $700 a month, and oftentimes I see maybe $50 or $100 a month into their budget, and that's not realistic.
One of the really interesting things is when we're sitting down with people and they've given us a budget and they put down what they're going to pay for health care, they have no idea.
Yep. But that's why we're talking about it now. And the heightened awareness of the impact of health on both retirement planning and retirement itself has been highlighted in a number of reports. The ability of American workers to achieve their retirement aspiration lies beyond just retirement savings. The ability to sustain health throughout your life, as well as lengthening retirement lives, is set to be one of the biggest issues related to retirement in our times. We're were living a lot longer. So nearly 90% of 1,000 participants in this study, which included both workers and retirees, reported they were in good or excellent health. Those in excellent health were more aware of the need to financially plan for retirement, more likely to be saving habitually, and more likely to be confident that they would be able to live a comfortable retirement than those who said they were in just fair health. And that shouldn't be a surprise. Healthy people are wise to prepare for an active and lengthy retirement. People in poor health are less concerned about how long they're going to live and could face actually larger than average healthcare costs. So we suggest, you know, strategies for both younger investors and those nearing or in retirement, and we usually do that through a financial plan. And to focus on minimizing the impact of taxes on your retirement savings, to prevent higher Medicare costs and lower net Social Security benefits. And younger investors should use health saving accounts and Roth IRAs, and older investors might consider Roth IRA conversions just to shift a portion of their assets to tax-free vehicles that could supplement retirement income. The overall impact of saving too much money incorrectly can lead to mandatory health care costs in retirement. They did another report similar by the Retirement Healthcare Data Report. And that report projected total lifetime out-of-pocket healthcare costs for an average 65-year-old couple retiring this year would actually top at $400,000. So $400,000 that you have to think about for your health. And in most cases, Medicare premiums are deducted directly from your Social Security benefits. And rising premiums can take a growing chunk out of those monthly retirement benefits. Most retirees are protected from a net decline in Social Security benefits from year to year by something called the hold harmless provision. And it basically prevents or prohibits the increase in Medicare premiums to exceed the annual increase in your Social Security benefit. But not all Medicare enrollees are protected from that outside increase in Medicare premiums. That includes high-income retirees and people who are enrolled in Medicare but are not yet collecting Social Security. Those who are not protected by the hold harmless provision shoulder the burden of any annual Medicare premium hike. So after several years of virtually no inflation and a paltry 0.3 cost of living adjustment in 2017, Social Security benefits are expected to increase by at least 2% next year, and that could boost the average monthly retirement benefit by $1,360, by about $27, and means, well, the hold harmless provision won't be a major issue in 2018. For most retirees, monthly Social Security benefits in 2018 will increase enough to cover any Medicare premium hike, but not much else. Medicare premiums for 2018 will be announced this fall. So again, just to kind of recap there, we have to focus more on not just saving money, but also on saving for our healthcare costs. And there are a number of ways to do that. But the biggest way is kind of sitting down with somebody like Dick and I and kind of go over your financial plan and your budget and realizing that healthcare costs in retirement is not $50 to $100 a month, but probably much more than that.
Okay, well, thanks, Camille. We're going to take a quick break. Another little update from Mike Kent out of Birch Bay, and we'll be back shortly.
Hi, this is Amberly Pina. I'm with Rollback Weekend, and we have amazing events going on. So I would love for you to come and join us. We have car shows, and tomorrow at 1:30, Infinity Dance will be performing.
That's right. Amberly's here at the Birch Bay 3rd Annual Rollback Weekend. Her and thousands of others having a super time. Tomorrow, Infinity Dance. Today, rock and roll, all kinds of cars both days, cruising, a hula hoop contest at 3 o'clock, all kinds of food. Come on up. If you love cars, you got a great car, it's not too late to dust it off, get it up here. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to love automobiles and love having a good time at the beach. Right, Amberly?
Yeah.
She's having a great time. Her friends are here as well. And I promise you, the weather is amazing. Right here on the bay in the heart of Birch Bay Drive. Again, Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce, Whatcom County Parks and Rec, 3rd Annual Rollback Weekend. This is the place to be, baby, in Whatcom County this weekend. Come join us.
Need your Subaru serviced? Stop by the only certified Subaru Tire and Service Center in the county, Dewey Griffin Subaru. In a hurry? No time for an appointment? Stop in for express service. It's fast, convenient, and best of all, there's no appointment necessary. Open 6 days a week, including Saturdays. Subaru sales and service has never been more convenient at your brand new Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded and community-driven. And the only certified Subaru Tire and Service Center in the county, 1800 Iowa Street, Bellingham.
Take advantage of the last little bit of summer at Port Away and Linden Farm and Garden. Save 30% on all fishing gear. Save 50% off all annuals and herbs. And all planter pots are now 25% off. Don't forget the puppies. Save $4 on 30-pound bags of select varieties of Taste of the Wild. From canning supplies to footwear, find great prices at Port Away and Linden Farm and Garden. On Walnut Street in Linden, off I-5 exit 263 on Port Away in Ferndale, and online at portawayfarmandgarden.com.
The KGMI Morning News with Joe Tien and Alex Gray on the podcast app and in the iTunes store on your smartphone, computer, or tablet.
Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up Live this Saturday morning. Don't forget, we also are on the air tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with our Wealth Wake Up show pre-recorded. We'll spend some time talking about the consumer price index numbers that came out this week and a few other things. And Camille was talking about planning, you know, and you start talking about juggling your income around and having to adjust for health care expenses and some of those things that everybody has to face. Well, one of the things they may want to take a look at is how and when they take their Social Security, which is one thing that we spend quite a bit of time talking about when we sit down and do a plan. So why don't we talk about how to fund a Social Security delay?
Yeah. And in fact, last week, I think I talked about the different strategies that have changed recently since the 2017 Bipartisan Act. So, but we're going to talk about how to fund Social Security delay. And the math is simple. For every year a person postpones claiming Social Security beyond their full retirement age, so past 66 or 67, your benefits increase by 8% per year up to age 70. That boosts your benefits by up to 32%. The catch is, well, what do you do for income until then? And for an increasing number of older workers, the answer is easy. You just keep working. Not only does that allow people to delay claiming Social Security benefits until they are worth more later, but also may postpone the need to tap the retirement savings, allowing their investment balances to keep growing. And by delaying withdrawals, retirement nest eggs don't have to last as long. But frankly, working longer may not be the answer many of you want to hear. My research has shown that many people could increase the lifetime value of benefits by delaying Social Security, but most claim before their full retirement age, sometimes as early as 62. Most claim benefits when they stop working. Some claim early because they worry about future benefit cuts. However, any viable Social Security reform plan exempts those who are close to retirement. Basically, you know, if you're getting close to retirement right now, you shouldn't worry too much about future benefit cuts at this time. Delaying Social Security benefits until age 70 can boost monthly benefits by 76%. So an example of this is an individual whose full retirement age benefit is, let's say, $2,000 per month at age 66 would receive just $1,500 per month if he claimed at 62 versus $2,640 per month if he waited until age 70 to claim. A larger benefit also creates a bigger base for future cost of living adjustments. And in today's post-pension world, Social Security benefits represent one of the few sources of income that a retiree can't outlive. One strategy to help married couples delay Social Security is divide and conquer. The real benefit comes from delaying the primary earner's benefit, so the earner, the person who is making more money. It can make sense for the spouse with a smaller Social Security benefit to claim at full retirement age or earlier to bring some cash flow into the household, while the spouse with the larger benefit delay claiming up to age 70. A larger benefit for the for the primary earner also translate into the largest possible survivor benefit for the remaining spouse. So if, let's say, the primary earner passes away, that spouse gets to take that benefit at that larger amount. Another option is to tap retirement savings first to provide income while they wait to claim Social Security. And it has consistently shown that tapping retirement savings first and scaling back withdrawals later when Social Security benefits kick in can extend your portfolio longevity up to 7 years. When viewed from an investment perspective, the decision to delay Social Security actually represents an astonishingly valuable investment return based on the internal rate of return of cash flow that it's provided over time. Increased longevity and lower interest rates also bolster the case for delaying Social Security benefits. Lower interest rates today mean that we should expect lower returns on other types of investments. And that favors delaying Social Security as a way to actually obtain higher overall returns for the assets on the household balance sheet. Some things to think about there as far as delaying Social Security. We get that question a whole lot. When do I take Social Security? And,
and we're finding more and more people, and we sit down and have that discussion, we're talking about waiting till age 70 because of the fact that they're looking at a, you know, a substantial 30% plus boost in their Social Security by waiting. So if they can draw money from other sources, a lot of things go into consideration. One of them is the fact that you're paying tax on your Social Security. Right. And so if you're under $34,000 or over $34,000, I guess you should say, you pay on tax on half of it. You're over $44,000, you pay tax on 85% of it. So in some ways, if you can take other sources of taxable income, put that into the stream, take your Social Security later and not pay taxes on it or as much taxes. Why? There's all kinds of things that need to sit down and think about. And those is, that's some of the things that planning can help you do, is help you understand a little bit more of what your options are and why they're there. So it's really important.
Absolutely.
So, well, this is going to go from one extreme to the other. Social Security. And now the number of young men not working has doubled in 15 years. They're not going to get as much Social Security. They're not going to pay as much into it, though, either. Right, I know what they're thinking. Anyway, young men are working less and playing video games more, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research. Men ages 21 to 30 worked 12% fewer hours in 2015 than they did in 2000, the economists found. Around 15% of young men worked 0 weeks in 2015. 15% didn't work, a rate nearly double what it was in 2000. Since 2004, young men have increasingly allocated more of their free time to playing video games and other computer-related activities, according to the study. 35% of young men are living at home with their parents or a close relative, up 12% since 2000. And the results of the economists' research are interesting, considering that there are 10 million American men ages 24 to 64 that have completely dropped out of the workforce. 10,000, or 10 million, I should say, between 24 and 64, have completely dropped out of the workforce. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported in June that there are nearly 6 million jobs waiting to be filled. And the U.S. job market has consistently posted gains of around 200,000 new jobs per month in 2017. So the results of the study could suggest that instead of actively seeking work in an economy with millions of open jobs, young men are choosing to stay at home and play video games.
There are jobs out there for guys who do play video games if you're really that good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then we also saw where Trump's labor secretary is targeting occupational licenses for elimination. The Alexander Acosta is the new labor secretary, took on occupational licensing reform. He called for elimination of unnecessary licensing and streamlining of those that make sense. He urged that while speaking at the 44th annual meeting of the American Legislative Exchange Council in Denver, they're state legislators, that he urged them to roll back burdensome occupational licensing requirements that effectively serve as government-created barriers for Americans seeking work. In 1950, only 1 in 20 jobs required a license in 1950. Mm. Today, more than 1 in 4 need a license to legally perform their work. is what Acosta told the crowd of legislators, free market advocates, and private sector representatives. He also acknowledged that some of the licensing regimes make sense, especially ones that focus on health and safety, but some could be done away with. Certifying skills and specialized knowledge helps consumers. That's far different, however, than using a license to limit competition or to bar entry or to create a privileged class. Asserting that the excess licensing hinders Americans' workforce, Acosta listed three major points. The cost and complexity of licensing creates an economic barrier for Americans seeking a job. Excessive licensing creates a barrier for Americans that move from state to state, and it creates a barrier for Americans looking to leverage technology to expand their job opportunities. He touted the president's message of America First, asserting that the nation's workforce is the greatest in the world. He assured the room full of state and local government officials that the Department of Labor would welcome their input on rulemaking across the board. And, of course, he's been regularly noted as being visiting job sites across the country since his confirmation to the post in April. Dick Donahue, Camille Kopenberg, the music's starting, telling us it's time to go away. You have a good week. Get your umbrella out for tomorrow. I hope you have to get your umbrella out. We need some rain.
We need
really
some rain.
Bad. Have a good week. You got questions for us, give us a call, 360-733-1200. Thank you for listening.